People misunderstand oftentimes what the word professional is all about as matched to who your customer is. I would challenge you. You assume and think that everybody thinks you have to be a certain way. You may be surprised a subset of people are like, wow, you're so different. You're refreshing. My kids love you. My aunt's asking for you to come back again to her office. Not saying you got to be silly. I get it. Money's on the serious index of things. You know, a funeral home director doesn't want to be laughing every day. But I would challenge you to consider you don't have to be like everybody else. Hi, my name is Ramon Ray. And I want you to steal my strategy.
You're listening to Steal My Strategy, the show where we talk to smart people who invite you to copy, review, and remix practical ideas you can apply to life and business. Are you ready? Let's get to it.
Ramon, we are looking forward to this conversation very much. I have to tell you, of all the guests I've had, you are the first one who has been interviewed by the President of the United States and fired from the United Nations. When I was looking into your background and trying to prepare for this, and I saw that, I said, my goodness, this is a one-of-a-kind individual. So I'm looking forward to learning from you today.
Listen, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me. And I know we're going to have a good time together sharing with your audience. So thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
I know we will have a good time. And actually, these two points I just mentioned, I just have to know. I can't even talk with you about other things until I understand the background behind that. How did you get invited to the White House, interviewed by the president, fired from the UN? There's a story here. I know it.
Yes. No, I appreciate it. Like some things you're like, wait, before we go on and talk about CRM or marketing, can you just address what happened?
Exactly.
Yeah, so at the United Nations, I worked there for a number of years. The United Nations is a great organization trying its best, you know, world peace and hunger and all the things the UN does. But I had this buzz inside of me, Robert, to be entrepreneurial. So I was a business owner inside and didn't really maybe know it. I had this itch that I wanted to scratch from month to month and week to week and ideas. And the United Nations has pretty clear rules about having a side business or a side hustle, as it were. So I had permission. I cross-checked that. You have to have permission before you have it. But then I had somebody who got a bit jealous of me. And he made life very difficult. The permission was revoked, but I already had a taste. I had a sipped of the taste of entrepreneurship already, the freedom, the risk. I had all that. So I didn't stop. And eventually they discontinued my contract, which is another way of saying I got fired. So that was the UN story of Ramon being fired. And then interviewing the president, which is really an honor, not only interviewing the president, but I've testified to Congress and other things like this. Another tech vendor had a contest, as it were, many years ago at the, I think, beginning of President Obama's presidency. 300,000, as I understand it, people applied to interview the president. And lo and behold, they picked me as one of five U.S. citizens to interview him. And what's interesting about that, pardon me, Robert, is that it wasn't so much the interview itself that I liked, but I think it was the journey getting there. Very competitive. So I had like three or four interviews with producers asking me the same question 75 different ways, maybe 77 different ways. So that was a fun for me. Kind of like if you've been to any of those Tough Mudder or any of those, you know, triathlete or whatever contest, it's like when you win or you finish it, it's okay, but it's the journey that's part of it. So I hope that was helpful.
Yeah. Great stories. Well, you know, when I put those two things together, I was just hoping your answer wasn't going to be you were fired because you became an arms dealer or something of that nature. So this makes a lot more sense. It's encouraging.
Yes.
And the entrepreneurial bug that you had, I know a lot of people listening can relate to that. They're entrepreneurs. I'm an entrepreneur. What was it for? What did you decide to venture out? Because you've obviously become an expert in many areas of business. So what did you start doing and what are you doing now?
Yeah, I think that what it's for, I'll answer that. But I still think today, Robert, me being 50 years old and having a number of years of experience in it, as you have and many listening, not because I'm anything, but just letting the audience understand it. But I think today it's not even what I'm doing, which I'll share. But I there's something inside. I love the risk. I just love starting from zero. I love being uncomfortable. And a side note, sometimes I go off the reservation here. So just pull me back anytime, Robert, like clap or something. Ramon, come back to us. But, you know, like going back to it, it was a snowstorm or something in the New Jersey area where I live in. And I told my wife, you know what? I'm going to take the bus. Now, this is a weird thing, but I wanted to take the bus because you and I'm guessing, are comfortable and we have some things we need and we've been blessed. There's people who are taking the bus in the middle of a snowstorm or walking. And for some reason, I wanted to feel that. So I'm going to get your answer. But it's just, does that kind of make sense? I think I just have inside me, I love being uncomfortable from time to time. I love, you know what? Let's see what it tastes like to have hot sauce on your tongue that nobody can take. Let me pause. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
I'm trying to say?
Yeah. And that's how you grow. And some people don't embrace the discomfort to grow. But you're explaining exactly what makes many entrepreneurs successful is that willingness to endure the pain, the grit, the desire to explore and see what they're capable of.
Yes. And so that makes me happy. You know, there's five people, Ramon, and one bottle of water. What do we do? But, you know, my entrepreneurial journey, it started, for whatever reason, the love of technology bit me as well. The time period of, you know, slow modems, you know, AOL diskettes, those in the audience, half know what we're talking about. Other half have no clue. But so that time period was when I kind of started my journey. And I was pretty good at technology, reading thick books and understanding how to do forms of online databases that were popular back then. And this was real, but also metaphorically, a travel agent next door to the UN was like, "Hey, Ramon, I have this software product. Could you help me use it?" Or I think he had three computers and they weren't networked together. Oh, they were networked. And I'm like, yeah, literally, I can go to Radio Shack, get some cable, string them. So
you're dating yourself.
Yes. And wait for it. So all three computers can print to one printer. So that's kind of how it started, that thing. And he had a need. I could solve the problem and I charged for it. So continuing on to that journey, doing live events. Huh, could I do an event? Must not be that hard. They ordered some fish and got some carpeting and ordered chairs and here's the event. It's harder than that. But so that started my event business and blogging, very similar. So that was some of the journey, Robert, if that's helpful, of how I started just figuring things out. Marie Forleo talks about that in her book, Everything is Figure Outable, of my journey as well of figuring things out and loving to explore. And of course, as you grow and get mature, you have to learn how to monetize and make money and profit and loss and balance sheets and those things. But that was my beginning journey, just that love of tech and learning that, hey, somebody else over here will pay me to do X.
Yeah. Well, and it's very impressive how far you've come from networking three computers to sharing the stage with, you know, celebrity business thought leaders. Yes. Like Seth Godin and Gary Vaynerchuk and Simon Sinek. So you clearly have carved out a great niche for yourself. And there's a lot I want to talk to you about because
Sure. So
much of it relates to your personal brand. Mm. And that is a compelling force for many businesses. It's a huge competitive advantage. And financial advisors are the types of individuals in their community providing a service that can often be underappreciated, overlooked, not considered. And yet when they have a strong personal brand, they are able to attract many more clients and serve many more people. So you've become what I would consider a personal branding expert.
Sure.
So Ramon, I'd love to hear from you about some of the principles of personal branding that you believe can help financial advisors, small business owners, to set themselves apart and get noticed in their communities.
Absolutely. No, thank you for sure. And I'm enjoying the conversation for sure. I think I'll start with a brief story. One of my friends, her name is Christina. She lives somewhere in the New York area and she's in the financial space, you know, larger financial space sector. And bottom line is I had an accident on my car. So I had some issues and some terms I didn't understand. She's the first person I thought of. Now, I don't believe even we've done business together. I'm not a client of hers yet, but by the fact that she does so much content sharing, she bought copies of my book, she's rocking LinkedIn, not even selling what she's doing per se, she's just out there spreading seeds of goodwill. When I had a need, I called her and we're mutual friends. So I think a few principles I'll outline and then I'll see what you think about those is one, regarding personal branding, it's not about the money first. I know, I can hear your audience out there. Robert, get rid of this guy. We got to make sales. Calm down, everybody. I know. But it's about getting that attention first. It's about building that trust first. It's about Robert not saying, "Ramon, can you buy from me?" It's more Robert saying, "Hey, Ramon, that's a nice haircut, man. I like that. You're looking pretty spiffy." And I like, "Oh, Robert likes my haircut." we build some sort of affinity and trust and relationship. Then Robert earns the right, and those listening, to ask for a sale. So a few things I'll say at a high level, then I'll pause here, but date your leads, marry your customers. That's one aspect I like to tell people. Date your leads as the dating game may be. Take it as broad as you want. Then go in for a better, a longer relationship. That's one. Number two is that attention and trust, that leads to a sale. Yes, sales are important, but first get attention, then build trust. And the third thing I'll leave you with is that, did I say that already? Ask for a smile before you ask for a sale. I can't remember if I said that one. Yeah, ask
you
for
did
a smile. Hey, good.
Good.
Ask for a smile before you ask for a sale. So they're related, but it's the aspect of, let me just, hi, good morning. Let me just, hey, that's a cute puppy you have, metaphorically, before you go in and try to sell somebody something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent principles. You know, we actually have a framework that we teach advisors and we market to that the very first step is get noticed. Yes. The second one is build credibility. Mm-hmm. And so that is part of building that trust and credibility. And it, everything starts with an introduction. So I like your way of framing that. Now, when it comes to doing this, though, it's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. I'm somebody listening and I'm saying, okay, great. I got to get attention. I got to build trust. Hold on. How? How? What do I have to do? Does it mean I got to wear a red suit every day? Like what? So
that's a starting point.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's one of the tricks. I don't know. But Ramon, if somebody was asking you that question, well, yeah, okay. But how do I do that without coming off as cheeky or undermining my credibility? What are some ways that this can be accomplished?
Sure. There's a book called The Like Switch by an FBI, former FBI negotiator. Have it on my shelf somewhere here. And he talks about, you know, counterintelligence. And the bottom layer talking about showing up repeatedly and then getting a bit closer. It moves to a shaking of a hand. You have coffee together and you build a relationship. So how do you do this? A few technical or practical things. One is the power of events. Doesn't have to be big events, but you could say, hey, every Friday, join me in Starbucks. Free coffee. We're just going to sit and talk about life, where you want to be in 20 years, leading towards, of course, a financial conversation. That's one. Number two, it could be good old-fashioned U.S. mail. It sounds, Ramon, they're TikTok. Did you know that? Yeah, I know that. But sometimes just a targeted mail, to somebody, they open it up. So that's number two. Number three, I'm a firm believer in the power of consistent content, as we're doing now. They may not listen the first one, but by the seventh time Robert's there, or Amy, or Becky, or Sue, the seventh time they're there, you know what? I've heard him say that again. So I believe it's part of frequency related to the audience you with to reach, something that serves them. There's a book, They Ask, You Answer, but my friend looking at my shelf now, Marcus Sheridan, talks about how it's not financial services, but very similar. He just answered every question his customers have, and he built a very popular pool building business. So the financial people, I say the same thing. What are the worries? What are the questions? Take someone like me, Robert. I'm a marketing expert, as it were, but I don't know jack. I don't know diddly. I don't know squat about finance, interest rate, this, that, and the other fancy terms. I'm looking to your crew to help me. So the more they're educating me, even before I buy, that's closer to the person I will then invest with or buy from, et cetera.
Yeah. Showing up consistently is one of the things that really sets apart those who succeed at this game, because so often I see advisors, they'll try something. They'll hear somebody talk about the value of it and they'll say, okay, I'm going to try that thing. They try it. It doesn't work right away. They give up and they never reap the benefits. So I think, you know, what you just explained is spot on. And it's interesting if you tie that into what you said a moment ago about ask for a smile before you ask for a sale. You're showing up, you're creating some level of personal engagement. The door is now open. And I know one of the concepts you teach about is, once that door is open, how to create the perfect one-liner, as it were, for those potential leads to pull them in. Can you share that, please?
Sure. I think it's really important that oftentimes we make things very confusing. We make things very convoluted. It's hard for people to remember. People don't know even what we're saying. And I think that as brief as we can be to draw people in who are interested to you, who want to work with you, make it easy for them to do so. I have one tagline that I have, unapologetically positive. It kind of wraps and brings together the essence of who Ramon is. People are starting to say that back to me, and I didn't even tell them. So that's the kind of thing where, for those in finances and any industry, but especially in finances, where it's a trust game. It's a trust game. People are very wary. You're dealing with my money, my finances, my life, my a variety of things of this nature. The person who can help clearly explain and guide me in the simplistic way is that person. I'll be a step closer to wanting to work with you.
So do you think everybody needs a tagline?
I think it's helpful. I think people remember better. I mean, you know, you may want to close your ear, Robert, for this one. The best part of waking up. Sorry about that, Robert. Is Folgers in your cup, right? So
that's not bad. You're on key there. Yeah.
Thank you. It's not quite a tagline. And I don't think people have to have it, Robert, but I think it's helpful. I think that person in today's age, you know, what's his name? What's that guy who goes doo-doo-doo-doo? You know, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. It's helpful. Mm. So I think it's cute. It's helpful. It goes in the back of a business card with a smile. I think it's helpful. It's another tool in the toolkit.
Mm, yeah. But I'm a financial advisor. I have a serious business now. I can't be making jokes. So how do I do this in a way that comes across as professional?
Sure. People misunderstand oftentimes what the word professional is all about, as matched to who your customer is. If your customer is a traditional white shirt, blue tie person, who's a very serious lady or very serious man, I get it. You want to match the energy of the person you're working with 100%. But I would challenge some listening to us. I would challenge you. You assume and think that everybody thinks you have to be a certain way. You may be surprised a subset of people are like, wow, you're so different. You're refreshing. My kids love you. My aunt's asking for you to come back again to her office. Not saying you got to be silly. I get it. Money's on the serious index of things. You know, a funeral home director doesn't want to be laughing every day. But I would challenge you to consider you don't have to be like everybody else. I have a friend of mine. She's in a law firm, a little different, but similar. And pink and purple. She happened to actually curse quite a bit as well. She repulsed some people, but do you know what a big following she had? So as Seth Godin says, people like us do things like this. I'll challenge that, Robert, those listening to us, you may be the laughing comedic financial advisor. There may be a lot of people who want you.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad you shared that with this audience. It's one of the biggest hurdles that they have to overcome, because historically the business has been so traditional, so conservative, so buttoned up. And yet this is a opportunity to get noticed, to stand out, to be different, but you have to be willing to polarize some. It could be stated that if no one dislikes you, then you probably aren't doing something right, because some should be turned off by you in some way. So I think it's a great point. And actually, if somebody listening wants to go down this path, they're like, you know what? Yeah, I need to be a little bolder. I need to be a little more authentic, a little more real. I need to have a little more fun in my business. How can they get started? What is the, because if I just go and sit down on my computer and try to come up with a tagline for myself, I'm just going to be sitting there looking at a flashing cursor all day.
Absolutely. So here's a few ways. I'll show you what I do, even though I'm in a slightly different industry, and you don't have to copy this, everybody. But I'll just give one example. I'm going to pull up my business cards. It's a small thing that, Robert, for sure gives me the edge, because people say it to me all the time when they react, what I'm about to show you right now. Are you ready, Robert? Can you handle it?
I don't know. We'll see.
So my business cards. So a little different, nothing dramatic, like, but these, you probably have not seen many people with a business card like that.
No.
So those are some small things you can do, even with just simple things in your branding. Put a yellow line through the letterhead, or maybe you have in every of your email headers a little balloon with a smile. Small things like that. You can be very serious. You can know your customers. Your customers know that you respect them. You're not going to cheat them or anything wrong like that. But you can still add a smile. You can say, you know what? Thanks for joining us. Handshake. We brought you, you know it, brownies. Corny little, cheap little thing, but people remember that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Well, a lot of the things we've been talking about so far have been related to getting noticed, starting that initial conversation, being remembered by people. But once they are a client, once they are now part of your family, I think you actually said married, once you're married to them, then that's when it gets real. And now the way that you treat that relationship is a huge indicator of future success. And this is not all just the upfront sort of marketing aspect of things. It gets deeper. And I know you've talked a lot about how making your current clients super happy is better for your business, and the importance of nurturing and building a community around that. What are some of the most effective methods that you see people using to build that community and keep clients for life, turn them into referral sources and raving fans of them and their business?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that we know a mutual tool that can help with a lot of these things. But two things I would say, two halves of this, I would say. One, there's the transactional things that you, the financial person, are already going to be doing because it's part of your business. Everybody does this, charts and reports and statements and disclosures and all kind of things you already have to do. So that you should keep doing. But the part that it gets really cool is, you didn't know that Robert's birthday was tomorrow. You couldn't send him a card. You didn't overhear his wife saying that their son's having a basketball game next week. And you couldn't just jot down and remind yourself to say, how was the game? You couldn't surprise the 10 girls who are having a sleepover. Not you going over, you could, but just sending them a cake. It's small things like that that automation and technology can help with, even just simple things like remembering. So that's the kind of thing that I would say, Robert, that takes things over the edge. There's the core things that everybody's going to do. But maybe again, this is a silly example, but Facebook told you that it was their birthday, or they posted on LinkedIn that said, happy anniversary. You couldn't comment and say, so glad it's your anniversary. Those are the things, if you do that at scale, you have your team do it, depending on the side, you will have customers for life and they will refer business to you. Absolutely all day.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The ability to do that is often limited by time. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges that financial advisors have. So you mentioned technology, you mentioned outsourcing to do some of this. What are some of the, if I had limited resources and I had to choose just a couple of really high impact activities that would have a meaningful connection with my clients, what would come to the top of your list?
Yeah, I do this on a regular basis. I have a tool. I have a thing called Dream 100. I get it from another company. You know, they had it for big companies. But simply the aspect is being mindful of who your customers are and what are their important dates. That's it. Whether you have it in a technology or a notebook, whatever you have it, just using something to remind you to remember them. That's it. A touch point. You're calling Ramon or DMing me or WhatsApping me or whatever the tool may be four times a year. That goes beyond what you have to do. Not Robert saying, hey, Ramon, it's the week before April 1st. Let's do X, Y, Z. Everybody does that. We know that. But I'm talking about when Robert doesn't have to, when there's no need, him texting, DMing, calling me. So that's the simple thing I would do. Just be more in touch, because the other guy, the other gal, they're probably not.
Yeah. So true. Shameless plug. We help automate that.
Exactly. I know.
Okay. Ramon, I love the insights you're sharing, and they do make all the difference. Yes. I know one of the things that CEOs struggle with, and financial advisors are CEOs of their own businesses in many respects. Some of them actually do have corporations. Some have smaller LLCs. But regardless, they often have this struggle between what they do personally versus what they do in the business. And it's like, oh, wait, you know, should everything be under my business name or my name? And I know you recently wrote a book, Celebrity CEO, How Entrepreneurs Can Thrive by Building a Strong Personal Brand. And I know also as a CEO, sometimes you can be conflicted because you feel like maybe are you stealing the spotlight away from your business by having a strong personal brand? But this is something obviously you're an expert in. So why, first of all, why does having a strong personal brand help CEOs and their company actually to thrive?
Yes. So great question. And here's my point to that is that I think the company helps you by you serving clients, whatever the client's paying you and you get a check and et cetera, whatever it may be. But you can help the business because you're the human. Only a human can shake hands with another human. Only a human can say, thank you so much. Only a human can say, oh, you look so nice, whatever you want to do. Only a human can do that. So by leveraging your smile, your who you are, you're out there having a pizza with somebody, you're at the local chamber meeting, all these things we do, by leveraging that, It builds up personal brand equity and shines or showers onto the business. Because let's face it, people know that Ramon works for X company. People know that Robert works for X company. They're not, in most cases, for smaller companies, differentiating the two. So they're mutual assets to both all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see CEOs sometimes, they engage on social media behind a company logo. Or they send emails out from the company name instead of their personal name. And mm-hmm. when they change those two things, they swap the logo for their face. They put their name in the email instead of the company name. Their engagement goes through the roof. Their response rates go through the roof because nobody wants to engage with a brand. They want to engage with a person who's part of the brand. And you just highlighted that well. The idea of being a celebrity CEO, I mean, most of us aren't going to be celebrities, right? What do you mean by that?
Sure. And what I mean by that, of course, we all think of Michael Jordan or Taylor Swift or whoever, the pick of the name of you want, who's the literal celebrity presidents and all that. I get that. But I challenge every business owner, we can be the celebrities in our local markets. We can be the celebrities in our industries. We can be the celebrities in our niche communities. And that's what I mean. Seth Godin wrote a blog post some time ago, famous to your cousin. Yeah. Nobody outside of a certain circle knows so-and-so, right? But man, the 329 people, the 40 people, the 3,000 people, the 10,000 people, whoever it may be where you're at, they can all know who you are and what you do. That's what it means to be the celebrity CEO of your industry, either geographically or of your industry or have you. And I challenge everybody can definitely have a piece of that. And Robert, can I go back and just address, I don't think I addressed clearly what you asked about the personal side. May I touch on that one more time?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, just wanted to touch and unpack that a bit more. I'm often asked that as well, Ramon. My personal brand versus corporate brand. So I just wanted to unpack that. I get some people may be timid, whatever, but I challenge you as well, assuming it's all good and legal, that have one brand. When you look up Ramon Ray, I'm not fearing, oh no, if Robert Googles me, if Robert looks me up, he's seeing the Ramon Ray personal. I'm doing something a bit naughty in my Facebook/personal. I don't have any room for that. It's just one Ramon in all platforms and all places. Yeah, you may want to have a little private thing for your who's leading choir today at your church or your synagogue or, you know, you and some guys playing pickup ball. Sure, you have your little WhatsApp groups, whatever. But in generally speaking, there's no two brands of Ramon. It's one brand. Leverage them both. Leverage them both. If you got to tell something to your wife or your kids or your husband, come on, you can just send them a text.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Well, Ramon, it's really been inspiring to listen to you and hear your insights today. Thank you. I know we're going to hear a lot more from you. You are keynoting at the Jolt conference coming up in May. Can't wait to have you in person. I know you're going to absolutely crush that.
I'm excited.
Yeah, everybody needs to hear what you have to say. And Ramon, we tend to keep these episodes relatively short because our listeners are time constrained, but we also try to give them some real nuggets.
Sure.
And you've definitely given some solid gold nuggets today. But I want to ask you, because this is Steal My Strategy, we ask every guest at the end to share one thing. What is the something Ramon does that leads to success that you want to leave the audience with that they should also do so they can steal your strategy? What would be your parting wisdom for them?
Parting wisdom, getting close, everybody, getting close. Here's the thing. If somebody is relatively the right fit for me, that I know I can serve them, just because they said no doesn't mean I cut them off. I'm still in touch. Not asking for a sale, but Robert said, no, Ramon, I'm not interested, but I know I can serve him. 6 months later, Robert, just want you to know I'm here. I hope you're doing well. I saw what you posted on LinkedIn. Hey, Robert, newspaper article, whatever. I thought of you. It said, blue vests are back. I just wanted to send that to you. Done. You do that a few times a year to the no people, you'll be converting a lot more business.
I love it. Thank you, Ramon, for the inspiration. Thank you for coming. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
Sure. Best way, RamonRay.com, or just email me, Ramon@RamonRay.com, and say you're a friend of Robert so I know who you are.
All right. Well, hey, it's been a delight to talk with you today, Ramon. Thank you. And we'll look forward to seeing you again in person at Jolt.
Thank you.